any further. And then even though the young person has an arrest record, there will be no juvenile justice record of that incident. And what we're finding is that both victims and offenders are incredibly satisfied with the process. They actually feel like justice was done. Many of them have been to court before, and they were not happy with those experiences.
In a southeast Baltimore neighborhood, adult residents who had called the police for a year about the youth hanging out in front of their homes came together with the youth to participate in a community conference. The youth and adults decided to start a football league. Cindy Lemmings, a neighborhood resident, talks about how the conference empowered the community.
With the conferencing process, it's not just an opportunity for people to complain, but you need to be a part of the solution, and that's a real big deal for us here in Southeast. During that conference, we heard some of the racial problems that we deal with, but we didn't focus on that. We could spend a lot of time focusing on the differences we have, but instead we focused on what do we have in common. Here's the problem. How do we deal with it?
A community conference costs taxpayers $250 per case versus $10,000 for a court trial, and has 90% rates of compliance by offenders. Community conferencing has been institutionalized in Australia, England, and in several Native American tribes. The government of Rwanda has authorized the use of a similar process to bring to justice at least 120,000 low-level war criminals. James Berry, a 20-year veteran public defender, supports the mission of the D.C. Community Court, but stresses the importance of community-based efforts to prevent criminal activity.
There's no substitute for community organization. When neighborhoods and communities are organized, when the kids are looked out for and have productive activities to be involved in, when we fight the local governments to make sure that there are leisure and recreation activities for residents of all ages, when we make sure that people have a reasonable opportunity to get employment and have a decent quality of life, housing, and those kinds of things, then we all benefit.
This is Ingrid Drake reporting for Free Speech Radio News from Washington, D.C.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
Hi, this is Joey Ramone of the Ramones, and you can hear all the best in rock right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
To mail your payment, press 3. To access another account, press 7. Please hold while we process your information. Transactions posted to your account since your last statement are as follows. On Friday, February 28th, a charge from an eating or drinking establishment for $33.65 was made to your account. On Thursday, February 27th, a charge from a mail or telephone order charge for $122.41 was made to your account. On Thursday, February 27th, a charge from a professional or organizational service for $35 was made to your account. On Monday, February 24th, a charge from an electronics store for $75.92 was made to your account on Monday, February.
Okay, I think I got the information I need.
A charge from an eating or drinking establishment for $15.17 was made to your account. To repeat your most recent transaction.
No, that's pretty much everything I needed. Thank you.
To
thank you very much.
Another account,
go away.
Press 7. Return to the main
so I can't press
menu,
any buttons from here.
Press 8.
Oh, well.
To speak
I'm sure
to the
she'll,
service representative,
she'll go away in
press
a minute.
0.
I just had to, I've been so frazzled this last week, I had to do some of my banking right here in the studio. And
on Monday, February.
You're not going to repeat the whole thing, are you?
A charge from an eating or drinking establishment.
I like how they don't give you names. And it's very, you know, subtle and discreet, especially the professional services ones.
To repeat your most recent transactions, press 1.
Okay.
To access another
I'm just gonna
account.
Hit it. Good. I got rid of it. Yes, so good evening. Good evening. It's another edition of Off the Wall. Sorry about the inconvenience there, but sometimes you just have to do two things at once if you want to do anything at all. And I got the information I needed out of that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. People give me dirty looks. I know it's not the best radio, but, you know, life comes first. And you have to deal with all the drama going on. But that's neither here nor there. It's been an active week. It's been a fun week. It's been a scary week. All kinds of things happening in the world. All kinds of things happening locally. Threat of more weather coming in one form or another. All kinds of things that make people stand up and pay attention and panic and freak out. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be reading some listener letters, as is the tradition. Every third week we read listener letters. This being the third week, that's when the tradition gets started. I have a whole lot of news stories here, and they're all interesting. And I want to read the letters, too, and I want to take phone calls. I'll give out the phone number now so you can write it down. It's kind of pointless calling it now because the phone companies being what they are, they'll disconnect you before you ever get connected to us. And since we don't have screeners, we can't put you on hold. And even if we did put you on hold, this system is such that after about 5 minutes on hold, the phone starts ringing again. So it's impossible to tell who's on hold and who's calling in for the first time. So the whole thing is just a big disaster. But the phone number that you can write down to call in when we blow the whistle or whatever to say now's the time to call in is area code 631. And for those of you out of the country, and I know you're out there, the country code obviously is 1. You probably know that more than we do. We don't know the country code of the United States. I can prove that pretty easily. Let's see how quickly it takes. Can I get a dial tone? Okay, a pulsating dial tone. Do you know what a pulsating dial tone means? It means that on this phone there's a message. It also means I didn't hit the numbers fast enough. And that's silly because nothing's busy. I shouldn't be getting a busy signal. But let's call AT&T. Which, the number is call AT&T. In the 1-800 area code.
AT&T. To place a calling card...
Actually, I just have to say that's wrong. There is no 1-800 area code. There's an 800 area code. One is the stupid thing you have to dial first.
AT&T customer.
It's also our country code, but...
For 00 info, U.S. directory.
Just get an operator here, see what we can find out.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Hi, operator. I was hoping you could give me some information. I need to know what the country code is for the United States.
Here, just a minute.
Shouldn't she know that? I mean, really.
Please hold. Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
Tying up resources, wasting time. It's just so silly. One, it's an easy number to remember. We're number one, right?
Please hold. Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
Anyway, let me finish giving out the phone number. 631 area code, 632 exchange, and the extension is WUSB, which translates to 9872. You can just tattoo that on your eyelids, and you'll know it all time. Isn't this ridiculous? Just trying to find out a simple number. Just goes to show you, if you ask the average person on the street, they're not going to know either. So when people from overseas want to call you, you don't know what to tell them. But they already know. They already know how to call here because they've done it enough times and they know about country codes. We don't know about country codes because as far as we're concerned, there are no other countries. It's only this country. We think 011 is an area code. All right, let's. Speaking of the telephone world, I don't think we're going to get anywhere with these people. This is a fascinating story about this college in Kentucky. It's a Bible college, which I guess most colleges are not part of the country. I shouldn't say that, really, because I just traveled across the country for about 4.5 weeks, 12,000 miles, put on the rental car, and it was a fantastic time, and being down south and being in the Bible Belt, people were very friendly and nice, and nobody bothered me, bothered my friend. It was really cool. It was a great experience. But I do have to say, there's a lot of freaks out there, and I don't mean us. I mean, yeah, we're freaks too, but there's a lot of people that, well, I guess they just do things differently, so I don't understand them. But this takes the cake, okay? You see Bible things everywhere when you're down there, obviously. You see crosses everywhere. That's how you know how many people died on the road, is how many crosses you see on the road. You know, it's a dangerous road if you see lots of crosses. There's crosses for all kinds of reasons. There's all kinds of messages to Jesus and to the Lord and from Jesus and from the Lord. In this particular case, in a town called Van Cleve, Kentucky, there's this college called the Kentucky Mountain Bible College. And believe it or not, they had the 666 exchange. Their phone numbers were all in the 666 exchange. And after months of asking for a new telephone number, the Kentucky Mountain Bible College has finally dropped the 666 prefix that disturbed Christians who recognized it as the biblical mark of the beast. You know, I'm going to give up on this. They're just not going to. They're not going to answer my question. I'll try one more time, just to make sure it wasn't a fluke. Yeah, sometimes you know, we could get lucky and
to place
get somebody
a calling
actually
card
knows something.
Or credit card call, press 1 to play.
Let's hope we don't get the same operator.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Yes. Hello, operator?
Yes.
I was wondering, can you tell me what the country code is for the United States?
1.
Just 1?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Never let it be said that we don't give equal time, you know, for people that might have a clue. Okay, so that person knew what it was. Though it sounded like she was going to say something more after the 1. But you might also notice, too, when the recording played and said, AT&T, can I help you? It was a totally different voice as the person that picked up the phone. They used to pick up all the time and say, may I help you? Then they realized we can get a machine to do that. For a time, they recorded their own voices saying it and would play that. Now it's just there's a male voice and a female voice. And if you say hello after you hear the recording, you'll always hear something completely different when they finally pick up. Anyway, getting back to the Bible College in Kentucky. We're just elated that the number has been changed, said Rob Roy McGregor, the college's vice president of business affairs. It was like we had this scarlet letter attached to us. The college is now removing the number from printed material, including its official letterhead, but not its website. I went over to its website, and look what I found. Contact information. They have a fax number. And let's try calling that right now, see if it actually still works. It's 1, area code 606. 666-7744. Let's see if that picks up with a fax machine. And if it does, we know it still works. Ooh.
The number you have reached, 666-7744, has been changed. The new number is 606-693-4888. Please make a note of it.
Wow, I wonder if the 7744 was, like, demonic, too. They changed that part of it as well. Well, let's try the main switchboard, which was 666-5000. That one may still go through. And they have a letter on their webpage.
Thank you for calling Kentucky Mountain Bible College. If you know your party's 3-digit extension number, please dial it now. To access our phone directory, please press the pound key now. Otherwise, please stay on the line and someone will answer your call. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Okay, well, we'll see if somebody actually comes to the phone. If they do, they have more people on.
Please hold while your call is being transferred to
Kentucky Mountain Bible College Business Office.
That sounds like we're going to get voicemail. But they have a letter on their webpage. Actually, they have a little a link that says, "Is our phone number a problem? Please read our statement here." And the statement goes, "For years, Kentucky Mountain Bible College has had the number 666 in its phone number because that was the only prefix available in this area. All phone users in Breathitt County had 666 as their prefix. Our number has served us well." How do you like that? The 666 exchange has served them well. Recently, as the numbers were used up, the phone company has added a 693 prefix. Several months ago, our business manager asked our phone company for 693-5000 or some other easy-to-remember number. They have offered us numbers, but none were easy to remember. We were told that the numbers were assigned to them from another company, and the other company was not making them available. We have been asking and waiting for an appropriate number to come available. To come available? I guess that's a way of phrasing things. Why all the fuss?
The party with whom you wish to speak is unavailable. To leave a message, please press 1. To reach another extension, please dial 2.
Okay, I'm going to try extension.
Oh, you've reached our automated call handling
6666.
If you know the extension number
Let's
of the party
that.
You are calling, you may enter it now. It is not valid.
Uh-oh.
If you know the extension number of the party you are calling, you may enter it now.
Look when it cuts
to
off.
To access the company you have entered is not valid.
After the second 6. So they're not taking any chances. Anyway, many people are aware of the connection of 666 to the Mark of the Beast and the end-time satanic system of the Antichrist described in Revelation. Many times callers to the college have asked us why a Bible college would have 666 in their number. KMBC, which is Kentucky Mountain Bible College, would like to change our number so callers would not have these concerns and to avoid any confusion or the appearance of evil. Now, if only Stony Brook cared that much, you know, the appearance of evil. I mean, we have the 632 exchange. I don't want to tell you what that symbolizes. And people are concerned. We'd like to have it changed to something a little bit more cheerful. Like 666, but never mind. Actually, 666 is Bayshore. I don't know what goes on down there. Anyway, is 666 even in the Bible? Yes. You idiot. Revelation 13:18 reads, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. See, they don't say 666 or 666. They say it in kind of a poetic way. 666. Try giving out a phone number like that, you know. you'll get some puzzled looks. Adam Clark, the noted Bible expositor, has given a quality explanation of this verse and the associated number 666, but you have to look in Revelation 13:18 if you want to read that. Actually, no, obviously, Adam Clark isn't in Revelation 13:18. You have to read his commentary on it, which I don't know where it is because it's not on this page, and I'm not going to go around digging for it. We are not suggesting that the phone company is somehow connected with the Mark of the Beast or the Antichrist. Oh, rats. It would be so much fun if they were. We are not battling the phone companies. We are seeking to train effective holiness Christian leaders for ministry in today's world. There are many conflicting ideas in our society today, but we proclaim faith in Jesus Christ as the way of eternal salvation. In 14:6. God has explained his plan of salvation in the Bible. People have rebelled against God and done things they know are wrong. That's in the book of Romulans 3:23. This rebellion separates one from a loving God, and if not remedied, would result in eternal damnation. What? It's Romulans, isn't it? Well, it says R-O-M. What else could it be? To redeem the world and restore this broken fellowship, God sent his son, Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm in present-day life, all right? If a person will humble himself or herself, confess their rebellious actions and attitudes, turn from evil and wickedness, and turn to Christ by faith, they will be saved. The rebellious spirit can be replaced with a submissive and obedient spirit. That about says it right there, doesn't it? The rebellious spirit can be replaced with a submissive and obedient spirit. Oh, man! Just tattoo that on your skin and read that every now and then. Let you know what you're in for. The power of evil in a person's life can be broken, and one can live a holy and godly life in this present age. Total submission to God can result in a pure heart through faith and the work of God's Spirit. You know, I was only interested in the phone exchange. Why are they telling me all this? Anyway, we invite your inquiries. This victorious Christian life can be yours. If you're interested in learning how to be an effective minister of the gospel of full salvation, please consider enrolling at Kentucky Mountain Bible College. Please feel free to contact us at 666-5000. Area code 606. I gotta tell you, man, it's madness out there. It really is. All the religious zealots that seem to be gaining footholds everywhere you look, even in the White House. Oh, yeah. Big time. Now, I mentioned that I was traveling cross-country, and I probably have, like, a couple of years' worth of stories to take from that experience. But one of the most interesting ones came about, I think it was in Louisiana. Yeah, we were driving in Louisiana. Now, we had this device in the car. We had a few devices in the car, a few very interesting devices. One of them was what's known as an iPod. Now, an iPod is a device that you basically copy MP3s onto. I have a 20-gig iPod, which basically has about 9 days' worth of music. So if I played the thing for 9 straight days, it would not repeat a single song. And it's really cool. It fits in your hand. For those who don't know, the technology has advanced amazingly. It's basically a hard drive. It's in your hand. It's got software on it, so it allows you to actually, you know, play music and listen to it, usually with headphones. But here's the thing. We wanted to play it on the car stereo of the rental car. Now, ordinarily, that wouldn't be a problem. If you have a cassette deck, you simply put one of those cassette converters in and plug it into the output of the iPod. But we had a car that had a CD player, so there was no cassette input, and there were no little inputs to plug wires into. So we had a real dilemma on our hands. We either had to get a totally different system to listen to the iPod, or we had to figure out some other way, or just not listen to it at all, which would have been a waste. So what we did was we visited our good friend Bernie S. Down in Philadelphia, who always has everything that you need. That's his motto, in fact. And one of the things that we needed was a way to get the signal from the iPod into the car radio or into the stereo system. And this device basically takes the output of something like an iPod and transmits it very low frequency, very low power, like maybe a watt or something like that, maybe I think even less than that. And it transmits it onto an empty radio frequency. There aren't very many of those, but occasionally you find static. You know, like if you wander around this neighborhood and try to listen to USB, you'll hear static occasionally. That means you can broadcast over that frequency. But in the case where we were driving in Louisiana, it was pretty easy to find an open frequency, and we were able to set the little device to whatever, for I think like 91.5 or something like that, and play our iPod. So it was actually playing music, and we were listening to 91.5, and it was coming out through the stereo. Now, what happens when you're traveling, especially? Eventually, the frequencies change, and a radio station pops up, if not on 91.5, then on 91.3 or 91.7, and it starts interfering with you. Because even though you're right next to the antenna, you will be overpowered by a powerful radio station. And that's what started to happen. We started to hear this sound, and it sounded pretty strong. And so we turned off the iPod to find out what it was. And it wasn't something on 91.5. I think it was one frequency up on 91.7. And friends, I have to tell you, this was probably one of the scariest things I've ever heard. I heard a lot of, crazy religious broadcasting that goes on. And I have a personal gripe with that, because most of the religious broadcasters take up frequencies below 92. For those who don't know, below 92 is reserved for non-commercial stations. Yeah. 100% non-commercial stations in the United States. That's what it's for. You can have a non-commercial station above 92. It's pretty rare, but you can have it. But you are not supposed to have commercial stations below 92. I see religion as commercial. That might be just my distorted, warped way of looking at things, but I see them as basically selling a product to various people and benefiting from it in their various ways. But regardless, a valuable frequency is being taken away from people who could be running a radio station like this or on any number of things. It's not to say you can't talk about religion. But when you have something sponsored by one particular group, and that's all they broadcast is that one particular, you know, point of view and nothing else, And most of it's, you know, recorded anyway. That's where I have a problem. But anyway, this station was a bit unusual because whereas most religious stations broadcast all kinds of music and, you know, recorded tapes from different places and, you know, really annoying things like that, this station had something a bit more a bit more localized and homespun. I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of Hail Marys. It's basically something that you say when you've sinned, apparently. I mean, I don't really know all that much about it myself. It's, you know, you see it in the back of various newspapers sometimes in the classified ads section. Apparently that's supposed to redeem you in some way. But we found, and this played for over half an hour, we found the station where a group of people were basically just saying Hail Marys over and over and over again. And occasionally, one would speak for a while, and then they'd all speak together. And my friend was with me, and he said, you know, I don't know much about this, but that sounds like sort of a demonic type of a sound to it. I'm not quite sure what the phrase is, but there was actually, from what I understand, there was a way of speaking that was outlawed in the past because it was demonic. A demonic progression, I think, is what it's called. And I don't really know anything about that. If someone does know something, please write to us. We'd like to know. But this was so wacky, so completely off the wall, that we knew we had to capture this somehow. We had to capture this. This was just too good. Nobody was going to believe us. Nobody was going to believe that this kind of a thing was actually on the radio. So there we were in the middle of Louisiana, of course in the middle of the night, so it was really scary, hearing this demonic sound coming from our radio. How do you capture something like that? We didn't have a tape recorder, couldn't hold microphones up to the speakers. We came up with the next best thing. We had phones, lots of wireless phones, we called our voicemail. Called our voicemails and held the phone up to the speakers and recorded it onto our voicemails. And then later on, when we got back, we took the voicemail. Actually, I was able to listen to my voicemail on the web, and I was able to save it as a WAV file, and then from there, bring it to my home computer, burn it onto a CD, and play it for you right now.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus,
forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those that have most need of thy mercy.
The third glorious mystery, the coming of the Holy Spirit. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. These men are not drunk. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Jesus of Nazareth was a man, accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We adore thee, O Christ, in the mystery of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let us ask Mary for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Okay, I think you get the idea. It's pretty scary. It's really, and we were happy to get out of that neighborhood, but it was.
Hold while we process your information.
Oh.
Transactions posted to your account since your last statement are as follows.
During the break, I had
on
to.
Thursday, February 27th, a charge from a telecommunication related business for $23.07 was made to your account. On Wednesday, February 26th, a charge from an auto-related service for $220.
All right, I don't want to think about that anymore. Okay, so that was a lot of fun from the religious people down there. That's the kind of thing that goes on the radio. You don't hear that up here, at least not yet, but give it time. Let's give it a little bit of time. What else is going on in the world? Well, let's see. We inch closer and closer to war every day. And, boy, is that going to be a lot of fun. It's just amazing how we just don't seem to get the message the rest of the world is sending, or even the people here are sending. And by we, obviously, you know, people get upset when I say we because they say it doesn't represent me. But, you know, unfortunately, it does. Unfortunately, to the rest of the world, Bush is we, and we have to do something to make sure that that is conveyed loudly and clearly that that is not the case. It's very heartening to see, you know. I mean, we talk about how great it is to have democracy in various places, and Turkey goes and votes against having troops based over there. And what can we possibly do about that? You know? It's a democratic regime, and they voted against it. Well, obviously, we're going to do something. Obviously, we're going to try to figure out some way to bypass their democratic system, because democracy is only good as long as it works in agreement with our policies. That's how it is. I'd like to be proven wrong on this. I really would, but I don't think I'm going to be. I think within a week, something else will happen over there. We have something like 215,000 troops over in the Gulf area right now. 215,000. Can you imagine how many people that is? How many people putting their lives on the line for what exactly? It's so hard to get people to explain this. Like, they just caught this the mastermind of 9/11. I asked maybe 10 people, did you know this guy was the mastermind of 9/11? No, I thought it was Osama bin Laden. I thought it was bin Laden. I thought it was Saddam Hussein. He was supposed to be the guy behind this somehow. Who's this Muhammad guy? Oh, no, he was always the guy we were searching for. Yeah, he was always the guy. Have to go and change the papers back in the past to make sure that they read that way. But, yeah, that's what it was. Bin Laden, who's that? We're not looking for him. Unless we find him. Then we were looking for him. It's interesting times we live in. You've got the Homeland Security Department now. You've got total information awareness. You've got all kinds of things that are rearing their ugly heads. Secret courts, secret search warrants, people disappearing. I can't believe this kind of thing is happening, but it is. And all it takes. Did you see the poll on CNN the other day? You know, I read CNN.com out of amusement, also because it happens to be the best mass media news on the web in the United States. And you know, there's a lot of qualifications there. They're not the best media. They're not the best on the web. They're best mass media. In other words, they're better than Fox. They're better than MSNBC. They're better than, you know, most of those things. But, you know, there are so many other places to go to get your news. But you should always know what's happening. You should always know what's on the front page of the Daily News, just so you see what's going on. Anyway, they had a poll on the front page that said, would you support the use of torture if it were used to gain knowledge of, you know, against various people that are supposed to be guilty? I'm not sure exactly how they phrase it, but they phrase it in such a clumsy type of a way. You know, would you support the use of torture in interrogating suspects? Suspects. They are suspects, after all. And most people, I'd say over 60%, said yes. Torture. Now look at the judicial system. Judicial system. Look at the look at the system of justice that we have in the country today and see how many innocent people there are, either incarcerated or going through trials or going through hell. And then extend that to the people that will be tortured because they're suspected of a crime. And all of a sudden, you're torturing innocent people. You know, these things don't go away. They just get bigger and bigger. So once you start okaying torture in some cases, you're okaying it in all cases. And yeah, the terrorist will have won because our entire system goes down the toilet. It's amazing. It really is amazing how easy this was to completely dismantle. When you have incompetence running things, that's what happens. Incompetence who think they're, you know, in some science fiction story where they have to prevail and defeat the enemy. It's not that simple. Okay. How about some more religion? Yeah, a little bit more religion, then some letters, then some phone calls. How about that? There's an email going around saying, don't drink Pepsi. That's right. And that's okay. I don't mind that so much. But urges recipients, like the old-fashioned chain letter, to pass it on. This is one chain letter I haven't gotten yet. Let your voices be heard, it says. It may sound like a marketing war between soft drink giants, but it's the rise of a new urban legend among God-fearing Americans that Pepsi wants to strip God from its cola cans. What in hell is God doing on a cola can in the first place? I'm not even going to try to get into that. The false story, which has circulated and morphed into different versions over the past year, says that Pepsi will issue a new patriotic can featuring the Empire State Building and the entire Pledge of Allegiance, minus the words, under God. Well, them's fighting words, huh? Taking away under God. Pepsi, which has tried mightily to quash the falsehood, was targeted because it was thought to still own Dr. Pepper, the only soft drink to issue a patriotic can after the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. The Dr. Pepper can had a picture of the Statue of Liberty and the pledge excerpts One Nation, dot, 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 indivisible. At the time, some religious groups protested that the can left out the pledge words under God. How crazy is this anyway? I mean, do people realize that it was not originally written with the word under God in it? That was added in the 1950s. It was part of the McCarthy era. And now people are starting to realize, you know, that is kind of... What if it said under Allah, you know? Would you have a problem with it then? Yeah, I'll bet you would. Because it's one type of religion being forced. Or, you know, any religion being forced upon people. And to say that in school every day, you can't expect a six-year-old kid, you know, to actually have the conviction to stand up and face the other way or something like that when he's being told to pledge allegiance under God and all that kind of thing. No, it's just going to be programmed into his head. This whole Pledge of Allegiance thing is being programmed into their heads. The whole thing is pretty silly and ridiculous. Anyway, once the Dr. Pepper debate reached the internet and email circuit, the rumor mill expanded the worry about anti-God soft drinks to the turf of PepsiCo, Inc., until 1995, PepsiCo owned Dr. Pepper, which is now owned by a Dr. Pepper 7-Up conglomerate. For a year, the soft drink giant has said it had no such plan for a patriotic can and loathed the spread of the rumor. Pepsi has no involvement in it, said Pepsi spokesman Larry whatever. When we have the opportunity to talk to consumers and customers, they quickly understand. The official explanation is posted on the Dr. Pepper 7-Up website. Only three words were used from the Pledge of Allegiance. Those three words were in concert with the patriotic mood of the nation. Pepsi has a, this is according to the chain letter, Pepsi has a new patriotic can coming out, but forgot two little words on the pledge, under God, in the, and Pepsi said they did not want to offend anyone. What's crazy about this, when you put out rumors like that, you force the companies to say something that basically backs up your position. It says, we would never do a thing like that. We would never take out the word under God when those words really shouldn't be there in the first place. Yeah, I realize now that that we have the internet, this show is being broadcast all around the country, including to those places. So I'd be especially interested in hearing from people from those areas as well, because Like I said, you know, it's all a question of perspective. It's all a question of understanding certain things and being brought up in different ways. All right, let's read some listener mail. And again, the email address to send mail to is OTW, as in off the wall, at 2600.com. That's 2600.com. And we've gotten quite a bit of mail. A lot of people listen to the show on the archive, so they can't call in. But those of you who are listening now, I guess this is the signal. You can call up, area code 631-632-WUSB, 9872. This person is relieved that we started a new show here on WUSB because they are almost finished listening to all the archives of Brain Damage. Well, we're not yet finished putting all the brain damages onto the internet. There's a lot left. And boy, I got to tell you, it's a real pain in the ass to do that. Brain Damage was a radio program that aired here from 1988 to 1995. It was 2 hours in length. And the problem is, we're putting them up year by year, and we're going backwards in time. But as you go further and further back, the tape starts to get a little bit more finicky as far as how it's played. It starts to squeak, and all kinds of horrible things happen. You have to literally dissect it, sometimes splicing it, sometimes the tape breaks, sometimes you have to bring it into an online editor and play with it there. It's really kind of frustrating, so it takes a little bit more time. But they will all get up at some point. Maybe I didn't say the number clearly enough. I know there's a 2 minute delay on the internet, so it takes a little bit of time for people to get there. But we have no calls on the line. 631-632-9872. Okay, I won't say WUSB. Maybe people don't have those little letters on their numbers anymore. Hello, I was just wondering if Off the Wall is going to be more in the way of current affairs and general discussion as related to technology. If Off the Hook program thinks of shifting its focus more towards the telephones and technology realm, that's what this person wants to see, and that's probably what we're going to be doing. As you can see, we talk more about things that are going on in the world, things that are going on in life, all kinds of personal experiences, too. Like, for instance, this is the week I realized what a lousy admin I am, or could be if I was an admin. I talked about a break-in I had last week, and I had another. I thought I sealed it up. I thought I sealed the security hole, but no, they came right back in. Right back in. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. The gall, you know, not getting the message, and just, you know, flagrantly coming right back in. I caught the perpetrator red-handed. And boy, was he scared. Was he ever scared? I thought that might be the end of it. But of course it wasn't. It wasn't the end of it. Because the next time I caught him, he wasn't so scared. In fact, he confronted me. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not talking about hackers. I'm talking about raccoons. I had a problem with a raccoon getting right into my house last week. I thought I sealed the hole up, stacked all this crap up against the hole in the wall, which comes from a chimney, and he managed to just sort of push it aside without making it look like it got pushed aside. And when I came home one day, there's this huge raccoon in the middle of the kitchen. You know, and he sees me, and he bolts for the hole again. I can't figure out how he managed to fit, but he did it. And then later on that night, I came into the kitchen, and I heard all this scrambling noise. And then when I went over to the hole, there he was, just staring at me. You know, and I started talking to him. I said, "Look, don't you get the message? This is my house. You have a house somewhere else. Go there." And he wouldn't move. I mean, he wasn't threatening me or anything like that. He was just kind of curious. And, you know, I realized they really are the ultimate hackers. They really do figure things out, and they break into things, and, you know, they are looking for things that are of interest to them, and they their curiosity extends to the point where they actually get caught red-handed, and then they try to become your friend. Yeah, I know. It's a house analogy that everybody tries to avoid. And it's not really, don't think of it as the house analogy. That's where people say, oh, you know, if somebody breaks into my house, you know, that's a violation of my privacy, and that's what hackers do when they break into my computer. First of all, hackers don't break into your computer. They break into, huge corporate systems for various reasons. But this is an animal analogy. This is the personality of a raccoon is pretty much the personality of a hacker. You know, somebody who just can't help but try to figure things out and can't help but try to get around security holes and really frustrates the person on the other side. Yeah, I felt like calling the FBI. I did. I stopped myself. But I know what you're saying. I know what people out there are thinking. Well, couldn't you also say that, rats and mice are like hackers too because they do the same thing? Rats and mice simply use existing holes that somebody else has already made. They're the script kiddies, all right? They don't figure anything out. They just, they're vermin. They're rodents. Don't insult me. All right, let's take some of these phone calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Matt from Michigan.
Hey, Matt from Michigan. How are you?
Good. I wanted to say I like your new show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for listening.
We are about 2 minutes behind on the internet, though. You're talking about raccoons still.
Yeah, we haven't quite figured out a way to make that time get a little less annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least you can listen to the show 2 minutes after we go off the air.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring up the fact that I found out from someone that the major credit card companies are being told to not accept transactions from any country that's considered a... Axis of evil under the Patriot Act.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, at the actual processing computers for MasterCard, Visa, all that.
Uh huh. That's really insane. I mean, we have an online store. We get orders from all over the world, and if somebody ordered the magazine from North Korea, I'd be tickled pink. But when you label somebody as the Axis of Evil. It's not hard to see how they might react in a bad way to that,
right?
And that's what I think is happening in various parts of the world. People are insulted when they're called the Axis of Evil.
Well, I think North Korea proves that fairly well.
Well, they just they're just getting angrier and angrier. They're just trying to confront us on all levels.
Yeah.
And while they may be kind of insane, I also kind of see what they're trying to do. And I just hope that they make the point without killing everybody in the world.
I think we all hope that.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else on your mind?
Not much. Just keep up the good work. Keep everyone, informed. And did you hear about ISO News getting shut down?
Yeah. That's another topic I wanted to cover tonight. ISO News, which basically they were kind of like an exploit site. Was that what it was? A cracking site?
No. Kind of. They had user forums with information on how to make ISOs, things like that for wares distribution, and the such. But they didn't actually have wares.
Okay.
Right. And I guess they got shut down because they were selling mod chips for the Xbox.
So now if you go to ISONews.com, was it?
Yes.
You'll get a notice saying that this site is now owned by the federal government.
Right. And did you hear about the switchover blooper, though?
No. What happened?
They actually had the web address actually pointed at two separate IPs. And users for about 6 hours after the feds took it over... could still get in to that alternate IP address and still get all the original site.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's I hope somebody mirrored it and downloaded all of it so that it's preserved in some way. But that's also, we had a story on 2600.com about these head shops that were raided shortly before then. And their sites were also taken over by the U.S. government. Not the sites so much were not taken over, but basically the registrars like Network Solutions were contacted and told to redirect all traffic to the DEA, DEA.gov, I believe.
Yeah.
Drug Enforcement Agency. And, these are people that have not been convicted of a crime, yet because they were, I guess, arrested or indicted, now their site no longer belongs to them. It belongs to the government. It's really scary because the government just is able to redirect all traffic. And the scariest part about all that, the people that are going to those sites, maybe because they're interested in such things, their addresses are being logged.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is just so Orwellian.
I mean, I was half tempted to go and check out the message that showed up, but I don't want my address to be logged by them.
Well, I encourage people to do the opposite. I encourage them to flood the site with all kinds of traffic. Let them get everybody's address. I always think that's the way to counter something oppressive, is just to give them all the information they want and a whole lot more.
Right, right.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Manuel.
Take care.
Yep, you too.
632-6901. Actually, that's our alternate number, but 632-WUSB, area code 631. And of course, after a certain amount of rings, your phone company will probably disconnect you. Just call right back. It's not like you're getting charged. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Nova Scotia in Canada.
No kidding.
Yeah, from Truro.
How about that? I was in Nova Scotia about a year and a half ago.
Oh, well, I'm originally from New Brunswick, where I'm away at school, so.
I was in New Brunswick on the way to Nova Scotia.
I bet you probably were.
It's a beautiful place. I love that whole area up there.
You probably stopped in Moncton. That's where everyone stops.
Stopped in Moncton for a little while. I went to that Magnetic Hill.
Yes, that's a great park.
I figured it out, too. I figured out what makes the Magnetic Hill work. It's like you're really rolling downhill, but it looks like you're rolling uphill.
Well, the trees didn't grow right, I don't think.
Yeah, something's all messed up there.
Yeah, so.
But so what's going on up in Nova Scotia?
Not too much. I'm actually calling from the Agricultural College here in Truro, so we're having a good time.
Yeah.
Actually, I submitted a story to 2600 last week about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we've been having some trouble with our IT department.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to, you know, they're going ahead and cutting all the resident students off our internet.
Why are they doing this?
We've actually renamed the IT department to the Bandwidth Busters now. Saying students are chewing up too much bandwidth, so they cut us off. But we're getting into some new section, looking for your opinion on the privacy rights of the internet. They're actually now going in and telling us exactly what we are downloading, what files we're searching for, what websites we're visiting. And we're looking for your opinion on the issues with our privacy rights.
You looking for our opinion?
Beg your pardon?
Are you asking me for my opinion?
Yes, we're looking...
Oh, well, I think you know what my opinion on that kind of a thing is.
Yeah, I know your opinion on the privacy issue, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane that they're actually doing things like this. I've seen similar things at other colleges. I see cable modem companies starting to do this, telling you if you go do something with Kazaa, you're violating terms of contract.
Well, that's what they're telling us, but they're also, more or less, they're getting us for anything, whether we're downloading websites. They started out just using a general packet sniffer.
Uh-huh.
And if we were using any bandwidth, they'd cut us off.
Uh-huh.
So they started catching people, you know, they were catching people that would be downloading a website at any moment. So we finally got on their case and they've stopped that, but now they're searching through everything that we're doing.
Well, you know, the way to counter this, I don't know how technologically aware the people at that college are, but if they're more than the average, it shouldn't be too hard to organize them and get them to just sort of do some sort of massive, electronic civil disobedience or something, or just get a lot of media down there.
Well, actually, we're in the midst of arranging more of a rally of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get the students together and get them together and get us all to go to the services office and let them know that what they're doing isn't ethically right.
Uh-huh.
And try to, you know, more or less get them to realize that they shouldn't be doing this.
Now, you have a better chance than we do of getting fairly decent mass media coverage. Not the best, but, you know, people up there do stories on issues like this, and it's not done in a hysterical way. So I think if you contact maybe either radio broadcasters or even television, you might get somebody over there that will cover the story in a favorable light.
We're hoping to, because we're not that far from Halifax, and Halifax is the big center of the Maritimes.
Uh-huh.
We're hoping to get some contact there, but we're hoping to get things sorted out.
Yeah. Well, Halifax is a great music scene. So
that as well.
Get some musicians on your side, because that always helps. And you have, like, a big benefit of some sort, a big, you know, outcry.
Oh, we'd like to. We're really hoping to get this sorted out.
And you say you sent us a story. I know we're kind of backlogged on...
Everything backs up. We
but
know how
you,
that works.
You submitted it to our website.
Right to the website, you know, the little news section right down.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'll have a talk with some of the people and see if that story came in, if we're doing something with it.
Right there.
And hopefully you can look on our site and see a story about that, because that definitely is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Actually, they're right now. That's my homepage, so...
Uh-huh.
It starts up to 2600 automatically.
Oh, that's how nice.
Sure, the school just loves that when they're going.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised they don't block it. You know, so many places block 2600.
They actually blocked me from sending email to you.
You're kidding.
Nope. I'm having trouble with my subscription where I moved to school. My old P.O. box got closed.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten the last two editions of the magazine.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
And I tried to email the office with my new address, and it bounces back that the destination is restricted.
Well, can you get onto like a Hotmail account and send it that way? Will it work if you do that?
I just send it through a general webmail site.
Okay. Send us a copy of that, because I'd like to see that myself, those headers.
And just tell my other email.
Tell the office person to forward it to me, and I'll look into that. But that's not acceptable. That's a lot worse than just blocking the website.
That is. I'm glad to get the website, but blocking email,
mm-hmm.
I say it's going downhill from here.
Yeah, it certainly is.
It does.
Hey, listen, we're out of time.
You are out of time, I do see. Unfortunately, I don't know where we are right now. I turned the sound down because nobody likes Pete.
Well, you can hear this conversation for another 2 minutes because you're probably delayed.
2 minutes? I can't hear where it's going right now, but...
Yeah.
Oh, I know what the web's like. A radio station I work for back in Fredericton.
Uh-huh.
I set up a Shoutcast stream for them as well, so...
Okay, listen, we got to go. Thanks for your call. We'll be back again next week. We'll be on tomorrow, Off the Hook, on BAI at 7 o'clock and on the web. We'll see you next week at this time for Off the Wall. OTW at TonySinHorn.com. Emmanuel Goldstein, have a good night.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.